This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. A couple times a month or so, I go down to Hartford's Bushnell Park around noontime, where state office workers spill out of their cubicles into the sunshine. They queue up in front of a row of trucks parked end to end on the sidewalk. One truck serves spicy Thai noodles, the next a mouth-numbing Sichuan chicken. You can choose a taco, a gourmet grilled cheese, even a good old-fashioned deli sandwich. Food truck clusters like these can be found all over the state, including on New Haven's Long Wharf, visible to prospective highway diners sitting in stifling traffic. It seems that every weekend there's a new food truck festival somewhere in the state. How extensive is this food truck revolution? Well, a few years ago, I profiled a New Haven man who totes around a brick-fired pizza oven on the back of a big green truck. Today, he's one of several businesses doing the same thing in the state. While Connecticut's food truck culture might not rival that of cities like Austin, Texas, it is growing daily. Pure entrepreneurship at its best. But the life is not without challenges. Today, Where We Live, fast food on the move. We want to hear from you. Do you have a favorite food truck in the state? Are you in the business yourself? You can join the conversation, 860-275-7266. Comment on our website, wnpr.org/where we live. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Where We Live. We'll be bringing in a few food truck operators in a moment. But first, we want to welcome back our friend Leanne Griffin, who is food and dining reporter for the Hartford Current. This summer, she's been writing a weekly series profiling Connecticut food trucks. Hello once again, Leanne.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me.
So first of all, tell me a little bit about the series that you're writing and who you're profiling. I mean, when you're looking for food trucks, it's not like going to a restaurant where you know it's going to be there all the time. How do you find them?
Well, we started this series back in May. We started our research for it sometime in mid-March, and we made a list of places. We tried to get a cross-section of people from around the state that were serving a lot of different types of cuisine. So we started with, I believe it was the meat truck in New Haven. We started with them. They were doing burgers and pulled pork and cheesesteaks and went on to a seafood truck. I think it was Zabo Seafood from there. We met them. They were doing fried shrimp and lobster rolls and kind of like a little seafood shack by the water, but in a truck. And they park in downtown New Haven by the Broadway Shopping District. And then we met a whole series of people. We met people in Hartford. We met people on the shoreline in Madison. We went down to Stamford. We met a truck that was doing Filipino and Pacific Islander cuisine. And we met people that were making cannoli and acai bowls and just really wild things coming out of a truck. Just really inspiring, actually.
And it is inspiring. I mean, as I say in the introduction there, to me, it's like the purest form of entrepreneurship. A few of the people we're going to meet have brick and mortar operations and also operate trucks. But a lot of these folks, the truck is the whole business, right? It's literally a mom and pop store. Somebody drives and takes the money. Somebody else is in the back cooking the food, and that's all it takes.
Yeah, absolutely. We met a lot of people that started the business that way. Some of them had started with brick and mortar and then decided to branch out the business with a truck. But more often than not, we were meeting people who started the truck, and the truck in some cases was so successful that they ended up opening a brick and mortar or are considering it.
You know, one of the things that whenever we talk about a revolution, like something that's taking hold in the state, not too long ago, we talked about craft brewing, right? There were maybe five or six craft brewers in the state a couple of years ago. Now there's 30 some, and we had a bunch of them on the program. Do you see this as a real revolution, as a change in the way people are dining and operating food establishments?
I think so. I think I've been talking with some of the other truck operators, what we've seen this summer alone is just the absolute proliferation of festivals. There's been virtually a festival a weekend since April and going through till about October or November, sometimes multiples. I think there are multiples coming up this weekend. And it just seems that there is always a place for a truck to go. And we had met some owners that have been around for a good 4 or 5 years. I don't think we met a truck owner who had been around for more than 5 or 6 years. I think that's how new it is here. And some of them had said, it's just unbelievable how much it's changed. When we started out, we really had nowhere to park and nobody was really welcoming us and we didn't know what the scene was like. And now we're just getting calls left and right.
And we will be talking about whether or not towns and locations are welcoming to food trucks in a little bit. And if you want to join us, 860-275-7266, we'd like to hear about some of your favorite food trucks. Maybe you're a food truck operator yourself. Before I turn to some of our operators, Leanne, I got to ask you, what makes a good food truck to you?
I like the trucks that I can find. some of them we work down the street, so we walk quite a bit to Bushnell Park. Some of these trucks are finding that the festivals and private parties are good for them. A lot of them are parking at breweries, which seems to be a newer market, and you're spending the day there, you're having a pint, and then you can walk outside, and there's a taco truck or a pizza truck or something. And so
And that's an important thing. There's a lot of locations maybe that want to serve beer, but they don't necessarily want to operate a kitchen themselves. It's a really great symbiotic relationship. You park a food truck outside, you get a little something to eat, and you get to sample the beer. Not a whole lot of overhead for the brewer. Somebody else is making the food.
Right. I think that's been we were meeting trucks at the series down at Two Roads in Stratford, down at Stony Creek in Branford, and I know that they park at Black Hog and Oxford, and we met a truck at New England Brewing in Woodbridge. And so it seems that the people that are going down there for the beer are getting this added bonus of great food. And depending on what day it is, trucks rotate quite a bit, but get everything from a stuffed baked potato to arancini balls to pizza to and pretty much anything, whatever they have on the schedule.
Well, let's talk about some of this great food. Tom Sobosinski is co-owner of Casey's Fromagerie and Bistro and the Cheese Truck, which is based in New Haven. Tom, thanks for coming up. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
And Carrie Corella is here. She owns Nora Cupcakes based in Middletown. And thank you so much for being here as well.
Thank you.
Okay, so Tom, I'll start with you. How did you get into the food truck business? Because Casey's was a brick-and-mortar location. You had a nice little storefront in New Haven. And as you started to expand, then the food truck business took over too. How'd you get into this?
Absolutely. So my brother Jason founded Casey's. I joined him and about 6 months to a year after, we said, you know, we want to go a little bit further, and we decided to purchase a truck. So we figured it was a good way to hit the streets and provide a lower-cost product, basically, to students and to be able to go visit other towns, basically just to spread, you know, spread the cheese around.
Just spread the cheese. I kind of like that. Was that really what it was? You were looking at the market and saying, if I want to get our name out there, if I want to spread it out to other people, that's the way to do it. Literally take it to the streets?
Yeah, we basically said, maybe it'll make money, maybe it won't. Let's give it a shot. And it's a good, you know, marketing and branding tool. And it's been very successful. So it worked out well.
So what did it take actually to get this started? I mean, some people might think, well, you buy a truck, you figure out how to make food in the truck, you take the truck to places. But it's probably not that simple, right?
Yeah, I mean, so it was about 6 years ago now, and New Haven did have, you know, itinerant vending licenses and that kind of stuff set up. So it was pretty easy in New Haven. We got the truck, got the license, you know, and then figured out what exactly we were going to do. We wanted to keep it very, very simple so we could have quick service, high-quality product. And, you know, we did just that. And then getting out of New Haven was a little bit more difficult, but, you know, being right downtown with Yale has, you know, worked out really great for us.
What are some of the challenges that people might not think about? I mean, one of the ones that I think about immediately is, okay, I'm 6'4" tall. Just the idea of cooking and being in a truck for hour after hour with a couple other people kind of makes me claustrophobic just to think about. But, I mean, maybe that's a challenge. What are some others?
Space is definitely the first challenge. Parking and just marketing, being consistent, you know, all big challenges. When you're in a restaurant, you know, there's always curveballs in this business, but when you're on a truck, it's a whole new ball game because you never know what's going to happen. If something's going to break down, you forgot something, something's out of gas. You know, it's just there's so many more variables to keep in mind.
And are you cooking on the truck? I mean, you have like hot plates going, and you actually have fire in the kitchen. You know, during the course of the day.
Absolutely, yeah. We actually just built a new truck, and it's got a 60-inch grill in the back, so pretty much everything goes on that grill, and it's all made to order. So it's super fresh, hot off the grill. And, you know, we're grilled cheese, so it's pretty much bread and cheese. So it's a pretty simple product.
And I think that this is one of the keys, Leanne, too. We talk about what makes a good food truck. Simplicity is sometimes the best. When you go to a restaurant sometimes, I know you and I talk about restaurants all the time, and we love to go to a restaurant, but you go to a place sometimes where you're overwhelmed by the choice. You're not exactly sure what the offering is. Most of the times you go to a food truck, and it's pretty simple. You can get this, this, or this. They're limited in what they can sell, but in that way, they're making something that is going to be fresh and really tailored to you that day.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's part of the charm of it. We had met some trucks that were doing quite a bit larger menus, and I kind of wondered how they were able to do it in such a small space with limited equipment. But we have met people that are able to pull off really incredible dishes in a small – sometimes people weren't even in a truck. They've got enough equipment in a trailer to sort of – have that whole experience. But we did meet some trucks that were specializing in one thing and one thing only. And the recent one that I'm thinking of is Chief Brody's Bun Mi that we story ran today in our CT Now section. They're doing just Vietnamese bun mi sandwiches, and they're doing that one version with pork and one version vegetarian with pickled vegetables. And so they told us, we're focusing on this one thing. We want to make it great. And that's what we're going to be known for. And we don't really want to expand at this moment because that's what we want to do the most. And that's what we want to do the best.
Where are they located?
We met them at New England Brewing in Woodbridge. I know they're in New Haven. I think they park at Black Hog as well.
Yeah, they that's our old cheese truck. We sold it to those guys.
Oh, really?
Greg works at Casey's as well.
Oh, excellent.
So and some buddies of ours,
That sounds so good to me right now. I know it's 9 o'clock in the morning, but I really kind of want one.
They are delicious. Sandwich, yeah.
Well, let me turn to Carrie very quickly. So this is a different sort of business for you. I'm going to guess you're not actually baking the cupcakes in the back of the truck. I don't know that much, but I don't think that's what's happening.
We are not baking on the truck. That would be impossible.
That would be impossible. But so you do have a storefront yourself. How did you decide to get into the food truck business?
Very similar to Tom. We opened the brick and mortar, and about 5 or 6 months later, we were like, oh, we should take this to the streets. And for the same reason, we can spread the word of the business relatively easily by traveling outside of Middletown. So,
now, one of the differences in what you do, and this is, I think, part of what signals a revolution to me, is that if it was just food trucks serving essentially meal food, sandwiches or pizza, hot dogs, something like that, that you could go and get your meal, that would be one thing. But you are part of what I see as a proliferation of dessert trucks. I mean, people aren't going to eat a cupcake for lunch, or maybe they shouldn't eat a cupcake for lunch, but you're there along with all the other trucks, and people go after your stuff as well.
Yes. What I like about the truck and bringing the truck to events is, especially if we're with, food, not just dessert, we piggyback that really well. So people will take us home for later, or they will take six home for later. So instead of selling one cupcake, we're selling six, maybe a dozen. So it's really a mini storefront and less of a food truck. It's a mobile mini store.
It's a mobile mini store. So, and this is the idea, and Tom mentioned this as well, essentially trying to get the word out to the people. You had an idea that you were going to expand your market, that you were going to expose your product to more people. Has it worked out?
Oh, definitely. I think that the social media of where you are and, where you're going to be and the consistency of, branding and marketing and telling people your location is very important. But it definitely just drives traffic to our store because they'll meet us in Hartford, but then they want to see where we come from. So they come to the store.
Leanne, the social media part of this is interesting, too. I mean, this really couldn't work before social media because you wouldn't really know where people are. You'd show up one day and say, I really want my sandwich, and the sandwich guy isn't there. Why not? Maybe you'd never want to go back, but now it's really easy to track.
Yeah, I think the trucks, I think you would both agree that social media is absolutely critical to this part of it, where when we were meeting trucks in New Haven, sometimes they weren't able to find parking in the exact spot they wanted to. So they would say, hey, we're really sorry. We're going to move to this street. Just follow us along. And they'll just post it on Twitter or Facebook. We've also found that Instagram has been huge because of the visual component of it. We had found several trucks on Instagram. Somebody would tag us in our house account and say, you need to check this person out. Or I'd see it in my own travels. And you're looking at this beautiful photo of a sandwich or a burger and saying, I want that. And then they say, here's our schedule for the week. I know you use it as well, Carrie.
Yes. Yeah.
Here's my schedule for the week. Monday will be here. Tuesday will be here. Wednesday will be here. And the immediacy of social media allows you to say if you have a change or, we're out of food for the day, we have to leave. I think a lot of the trucks we met were really great about that end of it, realizing how beneficial it is to their business.
And that's a big part of your business, John.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to let people know where you are so they can come and, get lunch.
You got to know where they are. The thing is, the food truck's in a different place every day. Chris is in Old Lyme. Hey, Chris, you're on Where We Live.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
So I was just going to comment. I live in southeastern Connecticut, and I don't get a chance to regularly patronize too many food trucks. So I've loved all the rallies that have popped up recently in Mystic and New London. And I like the chance to, I want to get to know as many trucks as possible and as many food offerings. But I've been a little disappointed when I go that no trucks are really offering any, $2 or $3 kind of amuse-bouche samplings. It's more of the $8 or $9 lunchtime meal portions, and I'm usually full after two trucks, and I don't get to try much else.
Well, that's – hey, Chris, thank you very much for that. That's really interesting. And he brings up something that I wanted to talk about anyway, Leanne, which is this idea of the Food Truck Festival. When we were starting to work on the show, our intern Alex Dubin, who produced today's show, was talking about pegging it to one of the food truck festivals. And we started looking. We're like, well, which one? There's a million of them, and they're every single weekend. What Chris in Old Lyme is talking about is not, you know, going to a food truck because it's a good place to get lunch during a busy workday, but trying to sample from a bunch of different trucks so that you can find out different types of cuisine. He's saying not a whole lot of samples there. You got to kind of buy a $9 meal, and, well, that fills you up pretty quick.
Yeah, I've heard that too. My question would probably be for the truck owners if it makes production and financial sense for them to do sample things. I could see it from the visitor standpoint because you would like to try as many things as possible. And because trucks are making things fresh, there is possibly a line at each truck. So, you know, I guess it would probably be a better question for the operators.
Well, yeah, and that really is a big question. I mean, it's nice to provide people something at a festival that's maybe a little bit different, but at the same time, if you got a big line, you still got to serve people, right, Carrie?
Yes, you do. We haven't run into that as much as I know the other trucks have because we really are take-home and, you know, have it for a couple of days. But it is difficult to do smaller portions for a lot of these trucks, and financially it's hard to, you know, bank on that. Like, you're anticipating a certain amount of guests, and if you cut your intake in half, is it really financially worth it for you to be there after all the permit fees, the vendor fees, the staffing fees, the inventory? I mean, you don't really know. It's a gamble. These festivals are gambles for us. So it's hard.
Do you see it that way, Tom?
You know, I would agree. Some of these festivals, there's a lot of trucks, and, you know, there's really long lines. So it does get difficult to basically lower your check average with a smaller portion. I do like the idea of it, though. I think if the organizer of the festival said we'd like every truck to have a $3 option or a $4 option, I think that could be really interesting. Because I would agree, some of the festivals walking around, I always eat at Not My Truck because I can have a grilled cheese whenever. So I agree. You walk around, you're like, oh, man, I don't know what I want. And there's so many options. And, you know, they are up in the closer to $10 price point, and they're large portions.
I want to get to one more quick phone call before I break. Michaela is calling from Hartford. Hi, Michaela.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm calling because I've run into a challenge. I work for an organization called Advocacy Unlimited, and we're having this pro-healing festival in September, and we've invited some food trucks to participate. It's a free event for families to celebrate the many ways that people heal, and we are running into a problem because a lot of food trucks are requiring us to give like a certain number of people, like a guaranteed attendance, but that's not really... we can't really do that right now. And so we've had a great turnout a buzz going through social media right now. And so we're anticipating that there's going to be people there. And I'm just hoping that maybe some food trucks might be willing to kind of step up and take a little bit of a risk, because we're really just trying to promote the idea that hope and recovery is possible for everyone.
Michaela, thanks for raising that issue, and I'm going to put you on hold here and see if our two food truck vendors have any thoughts. And what I might do, too, is ask our call screen and maybe take some of your information, too, in case anybody wants to get in touch with you. Well, there's something, Carrie. I mean, you might need to take a risk, and this is one of those really interesting things in what I see as a new economy in which people are working together symbiotically to try to make something happen. I mean, if you had to do food for yourself at an event like this, it would cost a whole lot of money, and it would be very, very hard to do. If you invite a food truck, somebody else will make a little bit of profit, and you'll have a little bit of a relationship, but you might take a risk by coming up there.
Right. I think this year especially has been so saturated with events that our schedules as trucks have been booked out since March or April. So there's a very small window for trucks to operate in, and it's usually April to about October through October. And then after that, if you called us for an event in November, we would be there. But we have to, you know, make the money when we can make our money to, you know, cover all of our costs for operating in a 6-month window. So that's why it's difficult to pull off events that are coming up I'm putting air quotes around this, in the last minute, because we have been booked since March.
Yeah, I would have to say the exact same thing. I mean, we oftentimes get requests. We'd like to help everybody out, but I'm already getting requests for next summer at this point, which I don't even want to start booking, because I really don't know what to pick and choose. I want to help everybody, but at the same time, you know, we want to focus on certain geographic areas and also, you know, run a profitable business. So I need to take the best events I can. You know, that being said, once we commit to somebody, it's really important that we can, you know, go and, you know, provide service for their event.
We're talking with food truck vendors, a food truck revolution here in Connecticut and across the nation, with Tom Sobosinski from Casey's Fromagerie and Bistro, and also the Cheese Truck based in New Haven. Carrie Carell is here from Nora Cupcakes, which is based in Middletown. Leanne Griffin, who's food and dining reporter for the Hartford Current. When we come back, we'll be meeting another food truck operator from New Haven that puts a twist on croissants. And we want to hear more from you, 860-275-7266, talking food on the move here on Where We Live. This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. Today we're talking about food on the move, a food truck revolution in Connecticut and around the nation. You see them popping up every place, not just at food truck festivals, but maybe outside your office building. There are more than there used to be. It's a hard business, but in some ways a very profitable business, either for those who have brick-and-mortar stores trying to get the word out or people who are just selling food from the truck that they make right there. If you want to join us, 860-275-7266. We're joined by Carrie Carella from Nora Cupcakes, Tom Sobosinski from Casey's in the food truck, which is based in New Haven, and the Hartford Current's Leanne Griffin. I want to bring in William Ruiz. He has the Twisted Croissant food cart, which is based in New Haven. Hey, William, thanks for joining us on Where We Live.
Hey, thanks for the invitation. I'm humbled to be amongst these competitors here.
Well, it's great to have you here. So, hey, tell us about Twisted Croissant. When did you start?
So the Twisted Croissant was a project that I started after undergrad. I graduated from Southern, and then I had the random idea of just building a food cart and operating that. I unfortunately, this is news to some folks, had closed it right after a year and a half of operating it.
So you've closed it, and you've closed it down now? Are you operating at the moment, William?
So now I am attending a business school up in Massachusetts at Babson College. I'm in my second year of the MBA program here.
So what worked for you and what didn't work for you in this business? Because I know it's a tough one.
Oh, yeah. It's a hustle. It's definitely a hustle. And as Tom and Katie mentioned, it's a different ball game. It's a different day every day. But it was a great experience for the time being, and it was a daily hustle with a daily struggle. But really, I would say definitely lucrative in both the experience, but also the people you meet. It's a beautiful culture there. The food cart business.
So going to business school, and you've obviously done a little bit of school of hard knocks there on the streets trying to sell food to people directly. I mean, what are some lessons you have for people who maybe want to get into this business? What are some things you tried that didn't work, or some things that you tried that actually you might want to replicate somewhere?
So I would definitely say location is a big deal. The thing about the New Haven population is that we have some really great business or office buildings that aggregate some folks that really enjoy food, and you'll see the cupcake food truck there. I've seen them a lot. Casey's definitely comes by the New Haven hospital area. So nicely, definitely choose your location well, and also test your food out. I don't know how many times I had to change my menu to make sure that it was up to par to the customer calling. You may enjoy a certain food, but it's definitely relevant to the area you stop in.
William, best of luck in all of your endeavors. Thanks so much for joining us for a few minutes here on Where We Live. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation.
Hey, you know, Tom, I want to ask you about that. Sort of tuning your food to the tastes on the street. Is it different than doing it in a restaurant?
I mean, I think to some regard, it needs to be something that's quick and easy and super simple. That's really, you know, it's got to be something that you can, you know, keep it simple. You don't want to overwhelm people. It's got to be fresh and, you know, just get it out. When people come to a truck, they really don't want to wait very long.
So one of the main things that people don't want is they don't want to wait very long. Are there different dining expectations from your clientele than when they come to your fromagerie, when they sit down and want a dinner at Casey's?
I would say for us, you know, part of our brand is it's a high quality product, whether you're in the truck or in the restaurant. We always strive to put the best thing we can on your plate.
I want to get to some more phone calls at 860-275-7266. Let's quickly get to Dee Dee, who's calling from Middletown. Hey, Dee Dee.
Yes, hi. Hi there, John. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind?
Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about the food truck festival at the Riverfront Capture back in July.
Yeah.
And it was a great experience to be able to go. I went on Thursday and Friday, but it was great to be Friday and Saturday, to try different trucks at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And so they had a great variety. They had a Mardi Gras truck. They had the toasted truck with the cheese. They had the New Haven fire pizza truck. So it was just a great chance to try different cuisine over those two couple of days.
And you're from Middletown. Have you been to Nora Cupcakes?
Yes, she's fantastic.
Thank you.
Hey, Dee Dee, thank you very much for that. I really appreciate it.
No worries. Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Let's go to Ron, who's in Prospect. Hey, Ron, what's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, John?
I'm doing good. What's up?
Hey, listen, just for your food truck operators, I enjoy snowmobiling, and I was snowmobiling in upstate Maine, Aroostook County, a few years ago. And believe it or not, in February at about 10 above, there's food trucks that operate in Caribou. They travel around Caribou, Fort Kent, Madawaska, serve barbecue. It's excellent. A lot of folks pull up to the truck and do takeout and bring home later in the day. And I just thought it would be kind of novel to have some trucks, if there aren't any in the state, that would go to things like, you know, ice skating things during the winter and so on and so forth. It seems like the season could be expanded.
Hey, Ron,
I just wanted to add that comment.
Ron, thank you very much for that. I really appreciate that. And, Leanne, what do we know about that? I mean, do you know of food trucks that are deciding to operate year-round? As the folks here have said, the lucrative time is during the summertime when people are out and about. There's lots of festivals, feed on the street. But, hey, people need to eat in November and December, too.
Yeah, I think some of the trucks we met do pack most of their events into the season, as you had said, Carrie, and they start to book. But some of them do take some time off in the winter. And I imagine there are some events that would be, you know, that'd be an option to do. But a lot of the trucks are finding it hard to do regular street parking in January and February when they're battling with snow piles and terrible weather. And
I'll just say, as someone who works in Hartford every day, it's really hard to find a place to park a car or drive a car or walk. I would assume parking a food truck in January with 2 feet of snow, Tom, probably isn't the easiest thing in the world. But do you try to get out there year-round?
We do have two full-time employees in the truck, so we employ them year-round. And they have, you know, New Haven's been improving on snow removal. And, you know, if you ask them today, they'd probably wish it was 32 degrees out instead of 90. So we do hold our own because, you know, we have students that are out and they want a hot sandwich and a hot soup and, you know, it works for us.
So, okay, we're talking a little bit about snow removal. That's just one of the many civic inconveniences we might face. Carrie, let's just talk about the cost of doing this for real.
Okay.
So obviously you got to buy a truck.
Right.
And then you got to outfit the truck. Yep. And you got to put people on the truck and you got to drive the truck around. Before we even get to fees and planning and zoning and all this other stuff, I mean, how much does it cost to operate a truck like this? I mean,
it really depends on what kind of truck you're driving, and maybe a trailer is a better fit for you. I mean, this can range from a very simple, you know, low income, you know, startup cost of $5,000 or $6,000, but can range up to $100,000 or more. It depends on how fancy you want your truck to be, you know. We did not go the fancy route when we first started because we couldn't afford it. So the maintenance on the truck is crazy because you're driving it all the time. So things happen, and if you didn't buy a brand new truck and you bought a 1990 Ford Econoline 350 that breaks down every week.
Not that we know anybody who did that.
No, no clue. you know, you face those challenges. And, you know, it's not like you have a mechanic on staff if you own, you know, a bakery, you know. So, it'd be a bonus if I did, but I don't.
All the same things that somebody has who maybe owns an old car you're dealing with, only you're putting more miles on it, and there's all sorts of other things that can break.
Right.
So there are those costs. Well, Tom, what about the other costs? I mean, as I said earlier, people think you just sort of show up and you can park anywhere you want and sell food to people. It's not that simple. How does it work in real life?
Yeah, there's a ton of permits and taxes and insurance and all those things that really do add up. So you have everything your normal car has. Plus, you know, now you need to get parking permits where you're going, get a health inspection. Some towns even require police clearance. So it really depends on where you're going, but there's quite a few steps to actually getting set up and getting food out the window there.
And every town is different, right? I mean, as we know, there's 169 towns with 169 different sets of rules. You really do have to figure out what's happening depending on where you're operating.
Unfortunately, right? They are all different. There's some towns do share health districts. Where there'll be three or four towns sort of in one district. But for the most part, they're all, you know, entirely different. Some require that you contact the police. Some don't. Some have really strict rules. And some are a bit, you know, easier. So it really depends on where you're parking.
You mentioned a health district. Do you guys have to do the inspections the same way a brick-and-mortar place would? You know, the health inspector shows up and you get an A or a B rating or whatever?
Absolutely.
Wow. So this is – and you never know that next person looking for a grilled cheese could be the health inspector?
They can pretty much pop on whenever they want. So, you know, I do like that because it does, you know, it requires all the trucks to sort of, you know, make sure that they're on top of things, everything's clean. So I do like that idea because always with street food, there's that idea, you know, you never know where stuff's coming from. And, you know, so I like that accountability. But also on the inside of the truck, there always is that fear that someone's going to pop in.
Well, Leanne, what do we know about this? I mean, about the different rules and regulations and laws? We've heard about some towns, you know, like New Haven or Hartford being very willing to work with food trucks, want them to park right there in the downtown area. Other towns, not so much.
Yeah, I think, as I said, it varies from town to town. We met trucks from all over the state. So we heard what people were dealing with in Hartford and New Haven and Madison. There's been some controversy in Madison about some people who are not all that fond of the trucks being in the town's historical district. We went down as far as Stamford. So it seems that it really does vary from town to town, and it can get frustrating for these truck owners. But they have to do this, their due diligence with what they're doing, because this truck business is so...
It's big and it's booming. And I want to get to Jason, who's calling from East Haddam. If you want to join us, 860-275-7266. Hey, Jason, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I would love to see something here in Connecticut. I was in Bend, Oregon, and they had a place called The Lot, which had it was a corner lot on a downtown street, had six food trucks. And the food trucks would, I guess, stay there semi-permanently, changing out near and then. But they had a little building that had a bathroom, and they had draft beer and wine and tables under a canopy. They had open mic. They could put plastic curtains on the side if it got a little cool. So it was open pretty much the whole year. It was just sort of like a permanent restaurant, but not a permanent restaurant. Real great idea, I thought.
It is a really great idea. Is that something that is taken on any place that you know of, Carrie, in Connecticut? Or?
Oh, not that I know of in Connecticut, but that is something that a lot of, you know, us and our food truck friends talk about quite frequently. Like, wouldn't it be cool if, like, we could just all not have to deal with the where are we going today, where are we going tomorrow? Let's, you know, get a little bit regular of a schedule and then pop up with some festivals or farmers markets, but have a little bit more consistency to a location, because Austin, Texas does it right. Portland, Oregon does it right. And why hasn't Connecticut found a spot that, you know, some of the best of the best could go to and offer a really premier experience for diners?
What do you think about that idea?
That's our dream. I mean, I know Boston, I believe, they actually rent spaces out, so I could have a certain space on, you know, Tuesday and Thursday, and then someone else can have it Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And, I think it'd be really nice. I know New Haven does have a few areas where there's trucks, but usually there's long waiting lists to get in, and I think it'd be a lot cooler if they sort of rotated through and, you know, maybe had less trucks at one time, but then had more of a variety that sort of changed around. And the idea of beer and wine is, of course, very appealing as well, so...
You know, it's funny, as he was saying that, and I love the idea, and I've been to places like that in Austin where a bunch of food trucks park and you can just sort of sit and there's a little beer garden. But the first thing I think of is back to my youth when the indoor shopping mall first became a thing, and there was this amazing, wonderful world called the food court. And we'd go there and we could choose from Chinese food to a stuffed baked potato to a sandwich to pizza. And we could choose it all. And then we'd sit there with our friends. Now, this seems like such a completely old fashioned idea now. It's like kind of the scuzziest idea of how you'd eat food now. But at the same point, I don't know, it's an old idea. It's the same thing, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, now it's a high quality product now.
Right?
And you're outside enjoying it, and it can change on a daily basis, which is really cool. There's some beer halls and places in Brooklyn I've seen where they have, you know, stalls that are maybe a 10 by 20 foot stall, and it's got a stove and whatever, and they change the food vendor up so they can come in, set up, maybe they're there for a week or a month, And then, you know, it's someone else, you know.
And I like this idea, too, Leanne, of something that is permanent but also has the element of surprise so that it's not the food court of our youth in which, like, oh, my goodness, another Sbarro piece of pizza. But instead it's actually, well, what's there this time and what are they serving and what's their special? And maybe I can have a beer and it's kind of outside and kind of inside. That sounds like the next step in a revolution here.
Yeah, I would personally love something like that. I think having all of that great food in one place and being able to walk from stall to stall, like you said, and have a beer along with it would be perfect.
Let's go to Lisa in New Haven. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi, what's up?
How are you guys?
Well, I think we're all doing well. We're talking about food. How bad could it be?
Food revolution. So my girlfriend actually started a food truck in New Haven about a month ago, and a bunch of people just texted us that we should call in. So I'm calling in.
Well, so tell us about the food truck.
So I would love to. It's called the Farm Belly, and it's all food that's sourced from local Connecticut farms. So it's sort of like a farm-to-street model. And she's been a chef for 20 years and has had relationships with local farmers for, you know, most of that time. And it's really exciting, and people have been really responding very positively.
So what's the concept of doing it in a food truck as opposed to in a restaurant? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of benefits, as we've been hearing about, to taking food directly to the streets. But I'm sure people who have a lot of history in the food business have a dream of opening their own brick-and-mortar restaurant. What's the idea behind making this a food truck enterprise?
Well, I think the mobility factor is really appealing, and the fact that you can just sort of get up and go wherever the mood strikes you. And also, you have access to areas that don't necessarily have a lot of restaurants. Just yesterday, we were in, it's right before Fairhaven, so it's around James Street, where there really is absolutely nothing. But people were so happy to have the option of being able to buy like a really delicious and, you know, well-priced lunch and breakfast.
Well, thank you so much for telling us about it, and best of luck to you guys.
Thank you so much for doing the show.
Oh, no problem. And Lynn, I think that's another piece. There's a lot of places that in the state, especially urban places, where we all just kind of feel like we need a spark of life. Like you need a place to eat, a place for people to gather. And sometimes, for whatever reason, somebody owns a building and doesn't want to actually rent it out. There's a whole bunch of things standing in the way in terms of civic government. All of a sudden, a food truck can pop up and it can start to get that life on the street bubbling up in a way that maybe you wouldn't have elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. I think so. I think down at the Billings Forge Farmers Market in Hartford is really, really vibrant. And we visit that quite a bit during the summer, and there's usually Nora is there, and then sometimes G-Monkey, the vegan truck, is down there, and there's another truck. Is it D's Flavors?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a couple. There's usually two or three trucks down there, and then people go to the market, the farmer's market, and sometimes they'll stop at the kitchen at Billings Forge or Firebox.
Well, and there's another symbiotic relationship, too. We've talked, of course, on the program about farmer's markets and the proliferation of them. This seems like a perfect fit for food trucks.
We built our food truck based on our schedule at farmer's markets. We're at a different farmer's market every day, sometimes two a day, and we try to be guests at as many around the state as we can. That really has one of our most popular locations is, you know, all the farmers markets.
Do you see the same thing, Tom?
Absolutely. We always try to buy some produce or something at the market that we can serve on the sandwich. And then, you know, it's great. People get a snack for then and then get some produce or something to bring home. So it's perfect.
We're going to be talking about another type of food truck idea, getting food to hungry kids during the summertime when school is not in session when we come back. We'll also take some more of your phone calls at 860-275-7266. We're talking about food on the move today, food truck revolution here in Connecticut. I hope you can join us right after this break, Where We Live. This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. Coming up on tomorrow's show, why is it that everywhere else in the world you go, people seem to know English and probably a few other languages as well, and Americans, well, we just don't. We'll look at how schools in Connecticut and across the U.S. are standing on foreign language education. We'll talk to linguists and educators about the value of bilingualism and ESL education. That's our conversation tomorrow, Where We Live. Today we're talking about food trucks. They're popping up everywhere, and it's a purely entrepreneurial venture. people just out there maybe with a little kitchen in the background and someone driving around and showing up at festivals and outside of office buildings, and they're feeding a lot of people in the state. We're talking with Leigh Ann Griffin from the Hartford Courant, who has been writing a weekly series profiling Connecticut food trucks. Tom Sobosinski is here from Casey's Fromagerie and Bistro in New Haven, and also The Cheese Truck. They're based out of New Haven. Carrie Carella is from Nora Cupcakes, which is based in Middletown, and they're selling their cupcakes by truck as well. I want to bring in somebody who has a little different twist on the food truck idea. Tim Cipriano is currently VP of Brand Development at Hooray Puree. He's the former Executive Director of Food Services for the New Haven Public Schools. And Tim, welcome to Where We Live. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We read about you and your idea of using food trucks to get food out to hungry kids in the New Haven area, especially during the summertime when they don't get those school meals. Where did this start?
So it all started at a manager meeting, meeting with my managers. We're trying to figure out ways how to increase the number of meals we serve in the summer to kids. And one of the managers said, hey, if we had an ice cream truck and drove around and dinged the bell and played the music, we can get kids to come to the truck and then we can feed them meals. So I took that idea and ran with it. And using social media, which is, you know, the way food trucks get the word out to the public, we connected with the United Way of Greater New Haven. And through them, working with the No Kid Hungry program and End Hunger Connecticut, we were able to get a grant to buy a truck and put refrigeration on it and then drive to the pools and parks and areas of New Haven where the kids were in the summer to feed them. So it was just, it all started with just an idea, you know, kind of wake up in the morning like, hey, let's do this, and we did it.
You know, it's just the simplest, silliest idea in some ways, Tim, because we hear over and over again about urban areas being food deserts, right, where people can't get a high-quality piece of food anywhere near them. And we hear about how a lot of school kids rely on those meals coming directly from the schools, and they got nowhere to eat in the summertime. You put those two things together, and you say, well, why don't we go out to the people? Why haven't people thought of this before?
You know, there are models around the country that have worked, whether they're using school buses or people put coolers in the back of their car and drive to different parks to feed the kids. But we wanted to do something just a little bit better and do it a little bit different. So, and also to use the truck as a marketing device, like Tom was talking about, you know, branding is everything. So if we're able to drive around a giant billboard through the streets of New Haven, advertising not only our program from the truck, but also our the free summer meals program that we had in all the schools, then we can use that as a really an effective marketing tool to increase access to meals. Because, yes, there's so many kids, especially in urban areas, that rely on school meals, that we want to be able to increase access to it effectively to everybody.
A last thing for you, Tim. What's the status of the truck right now, or programs like this? I mean, is this something that you see as expanding, or is this going to be a struggle to get the funding for year after year to try to do this really good work?
Yeah, there's no issue with funding. The Summer Meals Program is tied into the National School Lunch Program, which is a fully funded federal program with no local monies being used for the program. So money is not an issue when it comes to this. In New Haven, they served over 250,000 meals this summer in all their programs, with a lot of those coming from not only this food truck, but they were able to work with the local bus company and the Board of Education and get school buses that they outfitted to increase their trucks in the city to feed more kids. So money is definitely, for one food truck segment, is not an issue.
Tim Cipriano, currently VP of Brand Development at Hooray Puree, former Executive Director of the Food Services for New Haven Public Schools, talking about the Food Truck for Kids program there. Tim, thanks so much for sharing this, and thanks for the great work.
Thank you very much.
I want to go to Eric, who's calling from Providence, Rhode Island. Hey there, Eric. What's up?
Oh, everything's great. How are you?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
So I own a website called foodtrucksin.com, and we list over 6,000 food trucks across the country, including over 100 in Connecticut. And I've been listening to your conversation, and I think it's great anytime food trucks and mobile food businesses get some attention And, you know, I have a couple comments. You know, just based on your last caller, you know, one of the other interesting things that we've seen with school systems and students, I was in Boise, Idaho, and the high school system there actually had gardens where the students could take classes and going out and learning how to garden and grow their own food, which I think you're seeing more and more school systems around the country. And then twice a year, they would have food trucks come and use the products that were grown in those gardens to prepare dishes to sell back to the school and to the students. And it's a great program and a great idea and way to bring food trucks into the school community and also teach kids, you know, how to go really from farm to table with some of the food that they're growing and learning how to grow. So that's an interesting program that I think would be great to see expanded in different states, including Connecticut.
Hey, do you have any advice for any of the food truck operators here in Connecticut, since you obviously deal with a whole bunch of them in Rhode Island and around the area?
Yeah, so I think the thing that we're seeing and what there's a real shift on is that food trucks, and we've seen this a lot in Connecticut, the people that have contacted us in Connecticut, there are lots and lots of businesses that are 100 people or 50 people or 75 people that want a food truck to come out for lunch, and food trucks generally just can't consider those opportunities because I don't think people realize that for a food truck to have a successful service, they need to serve almost 100 people. And if you only have 100 people working at a place, the percentage of people that will actually go out and eat there isn't that high. And what we're seeing a big shift on is that our companies are willing to help subsidize those costs. So if they have 50 employees and they want a food truck to come, instead of a food truck having to say, you know, I'm sorry, there's not enough business, we won't make enough money coming out, a lot of what we're seeing happening is that companies are willing to say, well, look, we're willing to pay you $250 and then subsidize whatever else you do in sales so that you're making enough revenue because we think this is a great value add for our employees. We really want to support small local business. So the combination of us paying you a fee of $150 or $250 plus what you earn from the employees then becomes enough to support that food truck. And I think that there is a huge opportunity for finding companies and locations and office parks that see enough of a value of bringing in this local business and supporting this great local food and entrepreneurs that they are willing. They order pizza, they bring in caterers, they do company appreciation things. Many of these companies, when asked, do have a budget and are willing to help subsidize the cost of bringing in trucks for lunch service or special occasions.
It's a really good idea. Eric, thank you so much for the phone call, and we'll put a link on our website, WNPR.org/where we live, to your site as well. One more quick phone call we got time for. Gabriella is calling from Hartford. Hi there.
Hello, John. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Hey, tell us about your food truck.
We are a Hartford-based food truck, and my wife and I, Mal, own Amore Food Truck. And we're an organic vegan truck supporting local farms that grow organic produce. So we're a small business supporting other small businesses.
Hey, and how's the vegan clientele for the food trucks? Obviously, there's a lot of people who want that option who maybe seek you out, but I'm going to guess that a lot of people show up and you know, they might eat a hot dog the day before, but they want to come try out your food today.
Yes, actually, we have a great vegetarian vegan following, but a lot of our customers are actually not vegan or vegetarian. They're just wanting a healthy option to maybe their norm, like a meatless Monday kind of concept, or they just want really good tasting food that just happens to be vegan.
Oh, Gabriella, thank you so much for the phone call. You know these folks, Carrie, and maybe they're balancing out the Nora cupcake that they're going to have later too.
yeah, we see them every Sunday at Coventry Farmers Market, and they are fantastic.
You know, Leon, I just have to ask you, we just have about 30 seconds left. You know, a lot of what we talked about food trucks that are popping up in hip little downtown areas, and they're showing up at farmers markets. A lot of food truck culture still, though, is feeding people on the street with cheap, good food. And I think that that's still a part of the food truck culture that sustains here. I mean, it's not all gourmet grilled cheese. It's sometimes just a hot dog. It's sometimes just a simple taco that people need and people can afford.
Yeah, there's plenty of that. We did see a wide range of different things. There's a lot of different little carts in New Haven that are serving everything from hot dogs to arepas or crepes. And there's really, you can get virtually anything you want.
You know, I've had some of the best meals of my life off of the back of food trucks. And I'm so glad to be talking about it today with these smart people. Leanne Griffin, food and dining reporter for the Hartford Current. She's been writing a weekly series profiling Connecticut food trucks. Always good to see you, Leanne. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
Thanks to Carrie Carella, who has Nora Cupcakes based in Middletown and all over the place in the truck. Thank you so much, Carrie.
Thank you, John.
And thanks to Tom Sobosinski from Casey's Fromagerie and Bistro and the Cheese Truck based in New Haven. Thank you so much, Tom.
Thanks, John.
Our program was produced by intern Alex Dubin. Thank you so much. It's also produced by Lydia Brown, Tucker Ives, Betsy Kaplan, Josh Nalea, Kyan Wolf, Heather Brandon, and Katie Tolarski. I'm John Dankowski.